Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield and it's Friday and I'm glad you're here. It means, by the way, that we're at the end of our series on the fruit of the Spirit. Now, last week, Derek taught us on the gifts of the Spirit. All this week, he's been teaching us on the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm not just making things up to say, I have really been convicted by these themes. And I'm sure I'm going to be today. Today, he's talking to us about gentleness and self-control. Now, if you've missed any of this, or if you just want to hear it again and again to really plant those seeds in your soul, log on to the website, derekprince.org. You'll find this teaching, other teaching, and all kinds of great material about Derek Prince Ministries. Let's listen now as Derek teaches us on gentleness and self-control.
Today, I'm going to speak about the fruit of gentleness. The word in the original Greek can equally well be translated gentleness or meekness. Some versions use one word, some the other. Whichever word we use, we need to bear in mind that gentleness includes meekness, and meekness includes gentleness. For a few moments, I'll use the word meekness. The first thing I need to say is that meekness is not weakness. Many people think that, but as a matter of fact, the exact opposite is the truth. Meekness is the demonstration of strength. One good way, I think, to illustrate this from the natural world is to consider a jet airliner. It's my privilege to travel very frequently by jet airplane. I've traveled on them for a number of years. I've gone up from the 707 to the 727, from the 727 to the 747. When I first began traveling in jumbo jets, one of the things that amazed me was the gentleness with which they touched down. I couldn't conceive how such a tremendous construction, weighing so many tons, carrying maybe nearly 400 human bodies, could come down with such amazing gentleness. It's my impression that a 747 lands more slowly than a smaller jet like a 707 or a 727. I remember at one time I was on a jet that was landing and I'd been very busy preaching and I was somewhat tired. And just before we landed, I dozed off in my seat. When I woke up, we were at the gate. So gently had we landed that it didn't even wake me up. Think of that vast construction of metal and all the other elements that make up a jet airplane coming down so gently that it doesn't even wake up a person dozing in a chair. Will you say, is that gentleness, weakness? Obviously not. It's a superb demonstration of skill and strength. That's what meekness is. It's a superb demonstration of skill and strength. Suppose that big jet had come down with a loud bang and a bump and a thud and rattled and bumped along. What would that have indicated? Strength or weakness? Obviously, weakness. And that's how some people are who think they're strong. They shout, they stamp their foot, they raise their voice, they're abusive. That's not strength. That's weakness. Let's look for a moment at the example of Moses. It's stated of Moses in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men who were upon the face of the earth." So Moses, in his day, was the meekest man on the earth. Was Moses a weakling? Did Moses lack authority? Very much the opposite. There probably is no human character in the Scripture that ever had greater authority than Moses. But his authority came out of his meekness. How did Moses acquire his meekness or his gentleness? The answer is, by submitting to the dealings of God in his life. At the age of 40, Moses was all ready to deliver his people Israel in his own strength. He went out, got angry, and killed an Egyptian, and had to run for his life. His attempt to do it in his own strength was a total failure. Then came 40 years in the desert, a nonentity, looking after his father-in-law's sheep. I imagine that's a pretty humbling way to live, to look after your father-in-law's sheep and what the King James rather picturesquely calls the backside of the desert. Moses spent the next 40 years doing that. At age 80, was he finished? No, he was ready to begin. Why? Because he'd been drained of his own strength and self-confidence. It took God 80 years to drain Moses of what human beings call strength. But once he was drained of his own strength and his own self-confidence, then there was room in him for God's strength, which is manifested in meekness. You see, as long as we're operating in our own strength, we don't make room for God's strength. In the 40th chapter of Isaiah, it says that God increaseth strength to them that have no strength. In other words, when we come to the end of our own strength, that is when God's strength can begin in our life. Coming to the end of our own strength in conduct is manifested in meekness. You will ask, what does God have to do in us to produce gentleness or meekness? I believe the answer lies in a very distinctive phrase that's used in the scripture, the phrase, a broken spirit. In Psalm 51, verse 17, we have a statement made by David. It comes in the midst of his prayer of repentance after he realized the awfulness of his sin of adultery with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. In tremendous contrition, repentance, he humbled himself before God and poured out the beautiful prayer that's contained in Psalm 51. But in verse 17, near the end of the psalm, David says this, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." The kind of sacrifice that God is looking for in us today is not a bullock or a sheep on an altar, but it's something deep down inside each one of us, a broken spirit. There's a great difference between a surrendered will and a broken spirit. A surrendered will says, I'm going to do God's will, no matter what it costs. And then when God's will is unattractive and not what we thought it would be, we grit our teeth, we clench our fists, we hold out, and we say, I'm going to do God's will. I'm going to do God's will. But there's a tremendous amount of internal struggle. And there's a lot in us that resists God's will. We may conform outwardly, but inwardly, there is still opposition to the will of God. Well, how can a broken spirit come in your life or in mine? I want to suggest to you there are two possible ways. One is through a gradual process, like Moses, 40 years in the desert. But the other is through a crisis. That's like David. Suddenly he was confronted with the terribleness of his sin and his spirit broke. Today I just want to ask you this question. Will you give God permission to work in you a broken spirit, true gentleness, true meekness?
You know, the Greek word for meekness, one of these words that Derek is so emphasizing right now, means someone who deems God's dealings as good. And the idea is that if you deem God's dealings as good, that you'll be meek and gentle in your treatment of others. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
In the newly released book, You Shall Receive Power, Derek Prince explores the often misunderstood gifts of the Holy Spirit. In his classic, biblically based, and step-by-step style, Derek reveals how God's powerful gift given to believers during Pentecost continues to this very day,
How does the Holy Spirit operate? What are the signs that the Holy Spirit is alive and active? What does it really mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Now Derek's newest book, You Shall Receive Power, answers these and other questions about the Holy Spirit and its place in every believer's life. And the new book is available for only $9.95. To order your copy, simply call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The Holy Spirit brings comfort, discernment, direction, and power. Discover for yourself how the power of the Holy Spirit can be alive in you. Order your copy of You Shall Receive Power and let the timely and practical insight found within these pages help you grasp the nature and purposes of this life-changing gift from God. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thanks for being here on this Friday, the very last day of our series on the fruit of the Spirit. By the way, you've just heard about this wonderful book called You Shall Receive Power. I want you to know that I've read it, that it is classic Derek Prince. Derek was one of the fathers of the charismatic movement, one of the men who really ministered the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit to thousands around the world. You don't want to miss the opportunity to have this book. Let's listen now as he continues to teach us about the fruit of the Spirit.
Today I'm going to speak about the last remaining form of spiritual fruit, the fruit of self-control. This is the translation given in most of the modern versions. In the King James Version, the word used is temperance. The problem with the word temperance is that over 350 years or more, it has somewhat changed its associations. In contemporary English, today, the word temperance is often associated only with abstinence from alcohol. However, the Greek word includes abstinence in every area of our lives. It not merely prohibits excessive indulgence in alcohol, but just as much excessive indulgence in food, that is, gluttony or overeating. I heard somebody say once about our contemporary American culture, after an American has worn out one set of teeth, digging an untimely grave for himself, he gets an artificial set to finish off the job. I would say that gluttony is probably one of the most commonly tolerated sins among American Christians. Most American churches, or many at least, are dead set against alcohol and drunkenness, but say nothing whatever against gluttony or overeating. And when we see the members of those churches, their physical condition makes it pretty obvious that they haven't viewed that as a sin. However, the Bible normally puts drunkenness and gluttony very close together and condemns each equally. Now, many Christians are surprised to learn that God expects us to control ourselves. When we confront them with that kind of teaching, their answer is something like this: well, I thought the Holy Spirit was supposed to control us. Yes, but that's not the whole truth. The Holy Spirit will control us, but not without the active cooperation of our own will. We can sum it up in two parallel statements. We cannot do it without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not do it without us. I'll say that again. We cannot do it without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not do it without us. This principle is brought out very clearly by Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, where he says, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." The whole process of salvation originates with God. God works in us. He works in us both to will what is right and to do what is right. But as God works in us, he requires us to work out. So we work out and God works in. But the extent to which God works in is limited by the extent to which we work out. When we cease to work out, then there's no more room for God to work in. So the whole process of salvation has two aspects: God's work, our work. God works in, we work out. This applies particularly to the fruit of self-control. It does not operate without the exercise of our will. When Paul wants to illustrate what self-control is in the Christian life, he turns to the field of athletics. This is what he says in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. And everyone who competes in the games, that's the Olympic Games, exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Of course, our modern Olympic Games are actually based on the Olympic Games that were familiar in the ancient world in the days of Paul. The prize for the winner in the ancient Olympic Games was a laurel wreath, which of course quickly withered away. So Paul says, they go to all that trouble, they put in all that effort just to gain a wreath that's going to wither. But he says, if we put in corresponding effort in our Christian endeavor, if we exercise similar self-control, we will gain a wreath or a prize that does not fade away. Of course, in modern athletics, the prize is a gold medal, but even a gold medal, though it may last a long while, ultimately is impermanent. So Paul's point is, they're doing it for something so impermanent, something that's worth so little intrinsically, but we are doing it for something that is permanent and of incalculable worth. So he says, if they do it for that kind of motive, how much more should we do it for our kind of motive?
You know, the Greek word for self-control is literally translated self-dominion. And it could be that we're not going to be able to exercise the dominion over the earth as the people of God until we first have the self-dominion that God has ordained for us. The Bible says that a man can't take a city until he first can exercise self-control. There's more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
In the newly released book, You Shall Receive Power, Derek Prince explores the often misunderstood gifts of the Holy Spirit. In his classic, biblically based, and step-by-step style, Derek reveals how God's powerful gift given to believers during Pentecost continues to this very day. How does the Holy Spirit operate? What are the signs that the Holy Spirit is alive and active? What does it really mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Now Derek's newest book, You Shall Receive Power, answers these and other questions about the Holy Spirit and its place in every believer's life. And the new book is available for only $9.95. To order your copy, simply call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The Holy Spirit brings comfort, discernment, direction, and power. Discover for yourself how the power of the Holy Spirit can be alive in you. Order your copy of You Shall Receive Power and let the timely and practical insight found within these pages help you grasp the nature and purposes of this life-changing gift from God. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Glad you're with us here for this last day on the topic of the fruit of the Spirit. And Derek is talking to us now about one of the most important fruit, especially for our generation, which is self-control. We've been taught for decades that we ought to give vent to every desire and appetite. But the Bible says that the highest life is a life of self-control. Let's listen.
The example of athletics applies, of course, at least as forcefully to us today as it did in Paul's day. As a matter of fact, athletics and the World Olympics and so on are from time to time in everybody's mind and on everybody's television screen. What kind of life does a modern athlete have to lead if he's going to be successful, if he's going to run faster or jump higher or put the shot further or cast the javelin further than all his competitors? I would say this. An athlete's self-discipline affects every major area of his life. What he eats, what he drinks, the hours he sleeps, the things he reads. A major part of victory in athletics is having the right psychological point of view. It affects his friends and associates. He mixes with people who will encourage him. People who have similar values, not people who will distract him or tempt him into pleasures or forms of indulgence that will impede his chances of success. All these principles apply to us as Christians. Self-control affects every major area of our lives, what we eat, what we drink, the hours we sleep, the things we read, the people we associate with. Now, an athlete's success depends ultimately on his motivation. He has a specific goal to achieve. He wants to jump just one inch higher than anybody else has ever jumped, or do a certain distance just a little faster than anybody else has ever done it. That's his goal. His goal is his motivation. It's what enables him to go through with his very rigorous training. The same applies to us as Christians. If we have the right goal, it will enable us to practice self-control. Without the right goal, we will fail. What should be our goal? I would answer this. Our goal should be to have every faculty and every area of our lives disciplined and trained to accomplish God's highest purpose for our lives. That's more than just getting to heaven. If we keep this objective before us, we will be prepared to make the necessary sacrifices that self-control demands.
You know, I want us to take just a moment to do an inventory based on what Derek is telling us, because often what we do in our generation is when we note an area of lack of self-control, we sort of double up our fists, set our faces like flint, and determine to conquer it in our own strength. We make a list, we start doing sort of a self-help kind of program, and as valuable as that kind of determination can be in some areas of our lives, that the fact of the matter is that what we need to do first is yield to a fresh work of the Holy Spirit. If we could exercise self-control in our own strength, we probably would have already done it. What we need is the fruit, is to cultivate a fruit of the Spirit of self-control, the anointing, the grace, the flow of God, the application of the Spirit of God that allows us to exercise self-control. Father, grant us now that fresh work of the Spirit as we repent of leaning to our own strength and welcome a fresh grace from you to exercise dominion over ourselves. May it be so, in Jesus' name. Well, listen, it's great being with you, but that's all the time that we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Be sure to join us again next week as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order Derek's new book, You Shall Receive Power, available to Derek Prince Legacy Radio listeners for only $9.95. Call 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Take a moment to jot down our toll-free number, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can request your copy securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.